in chapter 2, verse 2, for context. This is the reading of God's word. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by faith. Moreover, wine is a traitor, an arrogant man who is never at rest. His greed is as wide as Sheol. Like death, he has never enough. He gathers for himself all nations and collects as his own all peoples. And this is the preached word. Shall not all these take up their taunt against him with scoffing and riddles for him and say, woe to him who heaps up what is not his own. For how long? And loads himself with pledges. Will not your debtors suddenly arise, and those awake who will make you tremble? Then you will be a spoil for them, because you have plundered many nations. All the remnant of the people shall plunder you, for the blood of man and violence to the earth, to cities, and all who dwell in them. Amen. This is a reading of God's word. Please be seated. As I said last month, this is a climax in Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2 is a climax. And what we had last time was that the Lord is judging the nation that was sent to chastise his people, that is the Chaldeans. But there's also one vision, that the just shall live by faith. But along with that vision is also a judgment upon the nation, the Chaldean nation. And so it's one vision. You have the promise, the hope of salvation, but you also have the judgment upon all those who are wicked. And so this is the high point of Habakkuk, and the Lord is continuing on in this vision. And so the teaching is that the Lord threatens all the prideful with judgment, and unrepentant plunderers will receive the judgment of being plundered. We will have one point: the Lord threatens all the prideful with judgment. And point number two, plunderers will receive the judgment of being plundered. So, point number one, the Lord threatens all the prideful with judgment. We see here in verse 6, shall not all these take up their taunt against him with scoffing and riddles for him? The wicked shall receive taunts, riddles, that is, dark sayings, scoffing. This vision right here can be seen as not only a taunt, but as a song to be sung to those who are wicked. And we see that even in the New Testament. Remember the book of Revelation 18, in chapter 18, where he puts that judgment upon Babylon. O Babylon, that has fallen. That's a taunt, that is a song towards those who are wicked. And so this is what the Lord is giving the Chaldeans at this point right now. He starts off with shall not. It's a rhetorical question that emphasizes the judgment that is to be upon this nation. Shall not they receive all these things? And what is all these that we see in this passage? Shall not all these take up their taunt? The all these are those that have been oppressed. God's people, those who have been deceived, those have been used for the gain of the wicked. That's why we sang that song just now, stand up, O God, upon those who are oppressed. It is God's people in this passage that is being oppressed, that is being taken advantage of by the Chaldeans. And so that is all these as well. But it's also all nations. The Chaldeans ruled the world at that time. and they were punishing all nations. But everyone would take up their taunt against him. Instead of being feared as they think they should be, the Chaldeans, they take up a taunt against the king of the Chaldeans. He thinks he's ought to be feared. He thinks he's ought to be worshiped. But that's not what's happening. God has flipped it on them. He has flipped the script on them. And this is supposed to be towards the king of Babylon. In Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 13, we see this prophecy being fulfilled. Because the wrath of the Lord, she shall not be inhabited, but shall be an utter desolation. Everyone who passes by Babylon, that is the Chaldeans, shall be appalled and hiss because of all of her wounds. That is a prophecy given to this nation. But it's not just for the king of Babylon. If you remember, Habakkuk had a complaint to the Lord. This is how this whole message of Habakkuk started. He had a complaint to the Lord about God's people. And the same exact thing that they are doing to God's people at this point is exactly what Habakkuk was complaining about, what God's people were doing to God's people. In other words, God's people are acting like the world. And so there is prideful even amongst them. And so this condemnation is towards all who are prideful, all who are prideful. Micah chapter 2, verse 4, in that day they shall take up a taunt song against you and moan bitterly and say, we are utterly ruined. He changes the portion of my people, how he removes it from me. To an apostate, he allots our fields. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 37. Remember the curses that were to be upon Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 37. He says this to God's people, and you shall become a horror, a proverb, and a byword among all the peoples where the Lord will lead you away. That is chastisement that God gives upon his people, but it's also a form of judgment. And so it's for all those who are prideful. But here, God is going to vindicate the righteous. Remember, we just went through verse 4, where the righteous shall live by faith. And so the Lord is giving, again, it's one vision. He's giving encouragement to those who live by faith, trusting in God's word. And so the Lord will vindicate the righteous, that is the humble. He will vindicate them and publicly shame the wicked. Publicly shame the wicked. And what is this shame that he gives them? This pronouncement of woe. Pronouncement of woe. Now, my job has been made easier because the last 2 weeks we have been looking at Jesus's pronouncement of woe upon the nations that he is talking to, upon those cities. But we can still go over these things. These things we still need to be reminded. This woe is a pronouncement and is frequently introduced as a statement of judgment. Statement of judgment. And I give you passages to look at. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. For the look on their faces bear witness against them. They proclaim their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to them, for they have brought evil on themselves. Tell the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds. But woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for what his hands have dealt shall be done to him. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 19. Woe is me because of my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly, this is an affliction, and I must bear it. It sounds like Isaiah as well in chapter 6, when he met the Lord. He was undone. In other words, he pronounced himself dead to the Lord because he saw the glory of the Lord filling the temple. And what did he say? He said, woe is me, for I am undone. He pronounces judgment upon himself. And that's judgment is upon all who do not repent and trust in their God. And so he pronounces judgment. All through, even in Amos chapter 5, verse 18, woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light. This is a message even to those, to God's people. Woe to you that desire the day of the Lord. You haven't repented. And so you receive judgment, dark judgment. Woe. The word is onomatopoeia. It's a word, it's just like the word boom or pow. This is a sound of deep anguish, sadness, wailing, crying out. It's a sound. It expresses deep sorrow, grief, and affliction. And the recipient of this taunt that we see here will be handed over to destruction. Handed over to destruction. When you hear this word woe, as you heard it these two weeks in the sermon, when you hear this word woe, it means that you're done. It's done deal. The Lord is fed up. And now there's judgment upon you. And that is what he's offering. That is what he's showing here. The recipients of this taunt are handed over to destruction. This is why when Jesus pronounced woe to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, they took up stone. They were ready to kill him because they knew what he was saying. They knew that this is a dark saying. This is a dark, this is a pronouncement, a judgment upon those who do not trust in him. And so those who are prideful do not produce the fruits of repentance. Remember, as we looked at this context, this is a woe towards all who are prideful, who trust in themselves, who are selfish, and look out for their own personal gain. And so because of that, they do not do the works of repentance. And so this expression, this woe, this is the sound, ultimately, of the people in hell. This is the sound of hell itself. That is woe. That is what, when you hear this word, when you see this word, when you read this word, you should slow down. This is a pronouncement of judgment. And the judgment right now is upon those who do not trust in the Lord, those who are prideful, upon the Chaldeans in this passage, but all who are prideful. And so by application, how long have you have been living in pride, how long will you continue in your pride? This threat that you hear right now is a threat for you. If you are trusting in your own self, if you are living in pride, the Lord has given you that threat. And you need to repent while there's still time. You need to repent. And so, but believers, you are to beware of the sin of pride, even in yourselves. You are to beware of this sin. We should see that this pride leads into other sins. As we move on to the next point, this pride leads to other sins. And pride is a heinous sin. But understand this, and it's been repeated here many times, the mother of all sins is unbelief. The mother of all sins is unbelief. That sin, whatever sin that you are doing, the sin that you struggle with, whatever you're doing that is not pleasing to God, in that moment, it is unbelief. Now, I know that sounds hard, but look at what we're dealing with here. We are to love and honor and worship God for who he is. And we ought to hate sin. Sin is not anything to play with. So many almost always seem to boast about how sinful they are, as if it makes them sound spiritual. But no, we are to fight against our sin. We are to make war against sin. We are not to, sin is not something to be enjoyed by believers. If you are a believer that's been given a regenerated heart, it's not something to be enjoyed. We hate sin. And by the way, true repentance always has a hatred towards sin. True repentance is a hatred towards your sin. And so, this is not a sin to be played with. You ought to make war against it. But know this, you have Christ. And how many times have you called upon the name of Christ and said, rescue me. This is my time of trouble. And he has answered that prayer. Trust in that. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will put to death the sins that easily entangles you. But you must make war. We all say that we struggle with sin. That's true. But in what case are you struggling against sin? In what way are you struggling? Are you putting this sin upon the horns of the altar? Are you carrying this sin that you're easily entangled with upon prayer to the Lord our God? This is what you ought to do. Make war. Get rid of the things that tempt you, especially when it comes to pride. Do not play with pride, because this is the result. So that's point one. The Lord threatens all the prideful with judgment. Point number two, the plunderers will receive the judgment of being plundered. Pride in itself leads to being a plunderer, or those who steal. It's setting up a judgment. If you are struggling with pride, you are setting up a judgment upon yourself. What does he say in this passage? Woe to him who heaps up what is not his own. Heaps up what is not his own. This plunderer, that's what a plunderer does. And this plunderer, the Chaldeans, are heaping up what is not their own, and it's through war and oppression, which was prophesied, as we looked before in Habakkuk. In chapter 1, verse 9, they all, this is the Lord answering Habakkuk's prayer, they all, that is the Chaldeans, come for violence, all their faces forward. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. And Habakkuk, in verse 15, as he continues on in his complaint, after he hears this, he says, he, that is the king of the Chaldeans, brings all of them up with a hook. He's a fisherman. He brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with a net. He gathers them in his dragnet. So he rejoices and is glad. That is a plunderer. That is a thief. That is those who oppress the Lord, those who oppress his people. And then he gives another taunt. He says, how long in this passage? For how long? That in itself is a taunt of judgment. It's not like he's saying, oh, how long this is going to happen. The Lord is saying, how long you think you're going to get away with this? It's a taunt. It's a taunt towards him. The question itself come off as a threat. The Chaldeans are not getting away with anything. And so these Chaldeans have assumed a heavy debt that will become due. That's why it says in this passage, he loads himself with heavy pledges. Heavy pledges. The imagery is that the riches that they receive have been taken like clay. It weighs them down. It's deteriorating. That's why in the King James Version it says clay instead of pledges, because it's offering that imagery there. But this woe appeals to the truth of Scripture. Proverbs 22, verse 16. Whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will come to poverty. That's exactly what's going to come upon this nation. But these threats are given even unto the New Testament. James chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. Come now, you rich, reap and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. This is a word from James. You have laid up treasure in the last days. You're storing up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You who oppress God's sheep, who are prideful towards them, the Lord takes that personally. We have a personal, that's why we call him Jehovah. He's our personal God. And so there is judgment upon those. They have taken what is not their own, and it backfires on them. And when does this judgment come? As we see in this passage, it's verse 7, it says, will not your debtors suddenly arise? Suddenly arise from the nations whom they oppress and stole from. It will suddenly arise. Those who are oppressed have become the debtor or the creditor. In the King James Version, it replaces creditor with bite. They become biters. And metaphorically, this is exactly what's happening. It's a figure of speech of this is exactly what creditors and debtors do. They bite, they take, they take over those who are not trusting in the Lord. And who is this gonna come from? This is gonna come from the Medes and the Persians. They will rise and cause the wicked to tremble. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 11. Sharpen the arrows, take up the shields. The Lord has stirred up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, because his purpose concerning Babylon is to destroy it. Remember, Jeremiah is a companion of Habakkuk. It's exactly what Habakkuk is looking forward to. Jeremiah is prophesizing even more. For that is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance for his temple. And so this is going to come from that nation. And so you ought to know that the Lord is sovereign. He controls all nations. And he has the power to take a nation that is wicked in and of themselves, chastise his people, and then judge that nation for their greed, for their idolatry. This is the God we call upon. He's sovereign and he is powerful. He's sovereign over everything. It says the wicked will be a spoil unto them. And this is not only lands, houses, goods, but also people. It will be a spoil. This is exactly what happened to this nation. They are taken and sold for slaves to be a profit for them. And what we need to see, as we see in this last verse, because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you. For the blood of man and violence to the earth, to cities and all who dwell in them. What we see there is retributive justice. Retributive justice. The same mistreatment that they have given will be given unto them. God uses the Chaldeans to chastise his people. Now he uses other nations to destroy him. He does this even on today. In this very day, but ultimately in the end, and we'll get to that. And the reason why he does this is because of the cruel violence that have come by plundering his people. They have hated his people, and he takes personal offense to that. The ultimate plundering, though, from the sinner is when they attempt to plunder against God. When we rob God out of his worship, when we rob God out of his glory, that is the ultimate form of plundering. And all of us here stand condemned without Jesus Christ. All of us here. Robbing of his church. There are many people who take money from the church and use it for their own personal gain. Neglecting. Not having forgiveness, giving a person offering, asking for forgiveness and not giving that forgiveness to them. That's owed unto them because the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for for their sins, and he has told you to do so. That's worship. That is what we ought to do. If that's not what we do, then we should not call him Lord. That is plundering. But this retributive justice is proclaimed even in the New Testament. And the reason why I bring up forgiveness, because the Lord brings it up in Matthew 18. And so bear with me. Matthew 18, verses 23 to 35. This is a parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe me." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw that he had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master, which represents the Lord Jesus Christ, summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you?" And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father would do to every one of you, if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. That is retributive justice. You don't forgive, God doesn't forgive you. That is retributive justice. These unrepentant souls will receive the plundering that comes from the torments of hell, the fire that plunders and is never quenched, because it is the wrath of the Almighty God. But the Lord still brings, as application, the Lord still brings judgment upon his nations that oppress and consume, especially his people. And so we ought to pray, not only for our nation, but for nations as we see that persecute and oppress God's people, that the Lord would change their hearts. And the Lord has done so. The Lord has granted nations repentance. So we are to do that. It is a proper thing. That's why we cry out for God to have mercy upon our nation and upon other nations. But also for you, you are to consider what you have done to others as well. If you steal from others, the Lord can bring a judgment, even in this life, to have things stolen from you. You plunder others, you offer unforgiveness to others, you receive unforgiveness. You have unrighteous anger towards others. People have unrighteous anger towards you. This retributive justice that even the Lord puts upon people, even in this day. But the ultimate retributive justice is in hell, where the Lord gives the judgment that you've done to others, the sins that you have done to others, he heaps it on you. And that is the fiery hell. And so you are to flee to Christ. The Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died between two thieves, which are plunderers, and offered one the kingdom of heaven. What a merciful God we have, but you have to trust and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the end, we should be thankful. Every one of us here should offer up thanks to the Lord, because he took the woe that we deserve. He was punished for our sin. And every punishment that the Lord Jesus Christ took upon that cross is worse than any punishment that the sinner receives in hell. But he did it for you, all those who trust in him. And so as we conclude, I offer the same points. The Lord threatens all the prideful with judgment, and unrepentant plunderers will receive the judgment of being plundered. But you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save you, and he will honor himself by saving you. But you make war against the sin of pride. You make war against the sins that you struggle with. Remember that sin is stronger than the devil himself. And so we make war against it. But the Lord Jesus Christ has promised to be with you to the very end, because he loves you. And he wants to see you glorified and not like the rest of the world and not like these Chaldeans who received the judgment. So trust in him and rest in him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for taking the woe that we deserve. How merciful and gracious you are, O Lord. And you did it for us, knowing that we do not deserve. We were far off from you, but you sovereignly intervened and made a way that we can be saved. And so we pray, O Lord, that as we continue on in our pilgrimage, we pray that you would have us to put to death the misdeeds of the body and help us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for plunderers such as us. May his name be lifted up in our hearts, and may we have more love and devotion towards him. In his name we do pray. Amen. And now we conclude with hymn number 49, O Lord, Thou Judge of All the Earth. It's on page 6 in your bulletin. Please rise.